We have pediatric oncologists on staff who did nothing but work with cancerous children, and that's all a part of this whole unit. Now, why do I tell you all that? Because I happen to think magnificence is better than mediocrity. I think it's better to have a hospital where we can take care of children at that quality care. And I am not willing to compromise and say, well, because there's something called fairness, that we should punish and not recognize the ultimate achievers who have learned these skills and know how to deliver on them. And they are worth every penny as far as I'm concerned. I'm not ready to settle for something less. Now, I understand that that always brings up the fairness issue. Shouldn't everybody have some medical care? I would hope they can. But when I hear about all the people who so-called don't have insurance, I have a question for them. Have you gotten an Amway to make enough extra money so you could buy your insurance lately? Don't just sit there and say, I don't have insurance, or I can't afford it. I say, what are you doing about it so you can't afford it? Well, if we have a system, as we do in Grand Rapids, where if you walk in our hospital, we're going to take care of you. I don't care if you have a dime, we're going to service you. We're going to do the best we know how. We're going to deliver magnificent service to you. And I happen to believe that's what happens in virtually every hospital in America. That if you walk through that door and you need care, you will get it. Now, I understand there are problems in Los Angeles, and there are problems in New York, and there are problems in Chicago and major centers where they have unusual levels of various kinds of illnesses that they have to deal with. And we should look at those institutions and with our compassion and love find a way to help that city. But don't destroy the principle of rewarding and recognizing magnificence, because everybody can't seem to have it. And when you have a system that rewards those who are willing to work harder and pay the price for achievement, those who are willing to study harder to get better marks so they can get a better job so they can get ahead in life, when you stop rewarding and recognizing that kind of achievement, then you settle for mediocrity and you won't have any magnificence anymore. So those are choices you have to make. Now, I don't know how many people there are who don't have the insurance because they really can't afford it. But I'd like to eliminate all those people who have just plain chosen not to buy it because they can get free care anyway. I'd like to find all those people who prefer to spend it on booze or cigarettes or whatever else indulgences they have and have chosen not to buy health insurance. Now, when I get all through eliminating those who could afford it but have chosen not to buy it for other reasons, then I'll get down to the number of people who really can't afford it, and we can figure out a very quick system how to take care of them at a magnificent level. Now, I'm trying to apply for you these things, that you go towards magnificence or you drive the whole system back to settle for something less than the best. And our country and this world must move towards excellence and the best, not some mediocre deal. When I look at education, and Secretary Bennett, former Secretary Bennett of Education, is a friend of mine, and we visited and say, Bill, what's the number one reason our kids aren't doing better in school? He'll say, homework. Interesting. It wasn't condemning the schools or the teachers or bashing them or finding fault with them. He says, the number one reason is our kids don't spend enough time studying. I was with Vice President Quayle the other day, and he reminded me, he said, 91% of the time of a child is not spent in school. 9% of their life is spent in school. 91% is spent outside of school. And that's where a lot of their education has to take place. And because of family failures, oftentimes it's not taking place. But our temptation is to bash the school. And we ought to be looking elsewhere to solve our problem and focusing in on magnificence. We could have better schools if we had choice, but that's a different subject, and I'm not going to get into that right now. We chose years ago to have magnificence in our transportation systems, and I won't belabor it or make a big deal out of it. Transportation system in this country, when Amway began, was on DC-6s and DC-4s. Jay and I signed up with Neutralite out here, and we would fly out here for a meeting once or twice a year, and we'd fly in a DC-4, and it was 6 or 8 hours from Chicago, I forget what. We banged around in the weather because it had service ceilings and all the rest of it. But the years that Amway began is the very same year the first jets flew. That's the kind of progress we have. Somebody at Boeing, somebody in this country decided there was a better way to make an airplane fly. And they were rewarded for finding a magnificent way for us to move. And so today we're in the jet age and we run around on 747s. We have automobiles that give us 50 miles per gallon out of the gasoline. And when we want to buy a car today, you don't choose between Ford and Chevy and Plymouth. You got 100 choices. You got so many choices in automobiles, you can't even keep straight what they are. You have been granted choices, options. And there are those who would deny you those options. I think you have the right to have the best, most magnificent automobile you can get. And I opt for the continuation of that. That's transportation. We'll talk off communication for a moment because somebody said, I'm going to make the best telephone. We're going to find the best way to transmit data. We're going to find the best, most complete, magnificent computers you've ever seen. And so today, when we operate in Japan, a distributor picks up his telephone, punches a code on his own telephone, transmits directly to the Amway computer to place his order, and it is done. That's the age. Because somebody opted for magnificence and didn't settle for the old, pure way. We bash the United States, we compare them with Japan on matters of export, but don't you forget that the United States is still the largest exporting nation the world has ever seen. We still export 25% of our gross domestic product. We export the same amount today, percentage-wise, as we did in 1900, as we did in 1960, as we do in 1992. And there are those who will tell you it's terrible and Japan's doing this to us and other countries are. Don't you believe it. We're exporting just as much as we ever had, and we are far and away the largest exporter this world has ever seen, and we'll continue to be that way as long as we strive to have the best, most magnificent merchandise to offer. Well, I could go on with a few things, but I won't. Only to hit a few things on Japanese bashing again because it's the new hot rage. Most of us would not trade for the lifestyle most people have to live in Japan. I see some of our EDC members who are the pioneers in building Amway in Japan, where we now do $1 billion worth of business a year because they too want to improve their standard. They too want to do better and live better. And it's fascinating to me. My son Dan is currently living in Japan. We rented him a little apartment in Tokyo. No big deal, $20,000 a month, you can have anything you want. So when you worry about how well the Japanese are doing, you better stand in awe of the challenges they have to overcome every day. The offices for Japan are strategically located in downtown Tokyo, and the biggest thing that determines the rent we pay on the buildings we're in is how close it is to the railroad station. Because it takes them 1 hour on a train just to get to town before they have to walk to the office. We don't have parking lots for their cars. You don't even think about it. The only problem is, are we near the railroad station? Because that's how the average Japanese gets to work every day. And the average Japanese, where the average American will live in 1,000 square feet, they'll live in 500 square feet. The average house in the United States today is built at 2,000 square feet. The newest house in Japan is built at 1,000 square feet. There are half as many cars per capita in Japan as there are in this country. We have, in the United States, compared to Japan, our per capita numbers of TVs, personal computers, houses, shorter work weeks. We have so many benefits above the Japanese that we should be hoping and cheering them on that they can do better and come to enjoy the level of achievement that we enjoy. But let me end up, if I might. And what happens when you move towards building a more magnificent society and not settling for mediocrity? When we started Amway 32 years ago, we decided to see how big we could become. And as Steve was telling you a little bit earlier today, we are now running at between a three and a $4 billion a year volume throughout the world. And there were all sorts of people who said, oh, settle for a nice little business. But you and we together decided we were going to go for the best. And we were going to be the best, and we're going to continue to do that. And so today, the Amway opportunity is offered to people everywhere, and they don't need money, and they don't have to have an education, and they don't have to be properly connected. They can make a beginning where they are, because we believe that people can move from mediocrity to magnificence, and we provide the vehicle. But let me end up on a simple theme for you. I've been talking a lot about not being a basher and being a builder and not being a whiner and being a winner and going for magnificence and not settling for mediocrity. But I got to admit, I'm a little bit of a basher. Now, I own the Orlando Magic. And we have next to the worst record in the NBA this year. And so I am into bashing the Bulls. Now, I'm going to tell you this story only because it will make the point that I've been making all night of why we must go for magnificent. But I think some of the people who are Laker fans could bash the Bulls a little, too. And we have to do certain things and get the NBA to change some rules. Number one, Michael Jordan is not going to be allowed to jump so high anymore. We have got to stop him operating at that high a level. The way to improve the NBA and basketball and conditions in the world is to bring down those who jump too high. And so I want our referees to have a mark on their pants, and anytime a player jumps above that, he grabs them by the waist and pulls them down. You got to do that. That guy really burns me up. He not only jumps up and he's fancy and his legs are cute, but he sticks them all in at the same time. We can't permit that in this society. It's a terrible thing. And I've noticed, I either am going to go for the mark on the ref legs or I want a weight belt around his waist. We've got to learn to slow down high performers. Now, the second thing I think that we've got to deal with in the NBA is I think I'm going to go to the Federal Trade Commission. They have deceptive trade practices. I've been watching them lately. And they look over here and they throw the ball over there. Now, that's not fair. Now, my team's only 3 years old. They throw over there, but there's nobody over there. And then these guys go and they throw the ball under their arms, through their legs, over their... They go dribbling down, oh, whoop, pop it to some guy. There's a trailer back there and he just dunk, down it goes. This has just got to stop, folks. And then we're a new team and therefore the ball... We lose the ball periodically. We have a lot of turnovers and the ball goes out of bounds. And we throw it to somebody, he's not there. And so we need, since we're the lowest, next to the lowest team... Let's say we're number 10 out of 11 or something like that. Then we got to have the first 10 turnovers come back to us. I mean, so we goofed up. But give it back. We're nice guys. We're poor. We're on the poor end. See? And the reason I developed this story is that I was going to go out and make some comments about how it's wrong to tax the rich. But then since I'm not poor, I found sound kind of funny. Trying to defend the rich. So he says, where am I poorest? And I decided Orlando Magic was the poorest. And so we are going to do these things. Now, I've been talking to Commissioner Stern about it, but I haven't won his attention very much yet. And so I merely leave the little story with you, and I hope you'll remember it. Because it wraps up everything I've been talking about. You have a choice. You can either learn to jump like Jordan, or you can stand on the ground and watch him go on ahead. But if the Orlando Magic is going to be the team I expect it to be, we're going to learn to jump like Jordan. And if this business is going to be what I expect it to be, we're going to learn to be more efficient, retain more distributors, recruit more effectively, and make more winners of people who join the Amway business. We're going to have more winners in this business. Because we're going to learn how to do it better. That's how you get. And this society, this place called the United States of America, is not going to get any better by bashing the Japanese or finding fault with other people in this world. It's going to get better when we commit ourselves to outperforming the world. I am fascinated when we talk about automobiles that when I look at Japan, that doesn't have any steel, doesn't have any iron ore, doesn't have any bauxite to make its aluminum, doesn't have very few natural resources from which to build an automobile, has to import all the material to make it, still can make it and get it over here and compete with us. There's something wrong with us as to how we're producing an automobile. And so it's up to you and I to set the standard for this country. And it may be that that power of resurgence of faith in America and the people of America, that we can set the pace for this world and this country. I know we can set the pace for this country. Because you and we are the kind of people who've got our sights on being magnificent. And we will lead others to see that vision. That when we try and bring others down to our level, all of us stay at a lower level. But we want the best medical care in the world, not mediocre medical care. We want the very finest program to take care of those who have special needs medically. But we will find a way to do that observing our free enterprise principles. And out of our abundance, find a way with compassion to take those who can't take care of themselves. That comes out of the magnificence of the cycle. It's only when we are magnificent and achieving that out of our wherewithal that we have the means then to pick up and carry the others. And we've been doing it all our lives. And that's the pattern we have to set for the world. And I merely take you back to what I talk about when we talk about compassionate capitalism, that there were four fundamental things that I found were important. And the differences between socialism and capitalism. And the one of those is that in capitalism, we have gone to be the best. And we'll figure out how to bring up the rear, because when the front of the train moves, the back of the train comes along with it. There was some would have you believe that isn't so, but it is so. And when the front of the train goes faster, the poor in the back go faster too. And it's a very simple and proven example. And that's why we're where we are. But those principles, I would remind you, are freedom. The right for you to own your own business. The right for you to choose your own schools. The right for you to work more or work less. The right for you to choose your doctor. The right for you to choose where you will live. Those are the freedoms you enjoy in this country. And we must preserve them. The second point we talked about is rewards for performance. So in the Amway business, you have the freedom to join this business or the freedom to not. The freedom to go on out and work at it or not work at it. That's up to you. But if you want some of the magnificence that's possible, then you better figure out and make the choices of how to work harder at it. And then the rewards come, and we got more bonuses than you ever heard of if you're new in this business. And most of you don't even understand most of the bonuses we have. In fact, one of the nice parts about the business is that a lot of people that receive those bonuses don't even understand those bonuses. They just take them and say, hey, that's nice. Why do what they're sending this to me for? Well, you did something in there. It's sort of like, you know, we try to figure out every way we could possibly reward you for doing things. The third thing is to remember that we got to recognize, and that's what you do in this business. You recognize achievers. You recognize magnificence. You stand in awe of the doctors in your community do a better job. You salute the hospitals that are doing a better job. You pay attention to your school teachers that are doing magnificent work teaching your children. And you send them the thank you notes. And you pick the phone up and call them and thank them for doing such a great job. And you focus your attention on rewarding magnificence. When your preacher does a good job, you not only mumble something as he walks out about how long he preached, you talk to him about how wonderful his message was. It only reminds me of a cute little story I want to end on. And then, of course, the last one is hope. That if you and I do all these things and we strive for magnificence, what's going to happen is that all of our children will rise to a new level of magnificence, and they will then be on a pattern of figuring out how they can take this magnificent level to the next magnificent level. And so we look back to my years of living from World War II to this time, and I see all those people who believed in magnificence, and you and I are the beneficiaries of all of that today. But the other day, Sunday, Easter Sunday, I was in church in Florida. And as they do, they have a little time to introduce yourself to each other. And you're all aware of that. Some guy was next to me, and I said, "Well, I'm Rich DeVos." And he gave me his name, and all of a sudden, that little look came in his eye. And he said, "You're not the Rich DeVos from Amway, are you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm in Amway." And he says to me, "I was in that once." And I said, "Well, really?" I said, "I stuck with it." And I trust you will, too. Thank you, everybody.